Well, Psalm 48 is in the context of Psalms 46 and 47, which all are speaking about the situation in the time of Hezekiah, when Jerusalem was surrounded by armies, and then one angel of the Lord goes forth and slays 185,000, and the rest of them all run away. This is a reflection immediately after that victory. And you could also, however, read it as a prophecy. Although it sounds like it's all in the past tense, for example, verse 3, God has shown himself in her citadels as a refuge, you could also read it as a prophecy that was given actually before that time, telling Israel that this is what is going to happen. Because there is in Hebrew a prophetic perfect tense. That is, when things are spoken of in the past tense, which are yet future. And this is the essence of faith, that, as the New Testament says, God speaks of those things which are not, as if they are. And this leads some people to misinterpret some of the verses in the Bible that talk in this way. It's that God is outside of time as we know it. To him, if he states something, that is as good as done, even if it is not now visible. And so really it should be in our lives, in that we pray for things and are asked to believe that we have received them. That's the essence of faith. And we are asked, therefore, to adopt God's perspective, that what has been promised and spoken really will come about. So, verse 2, beautiful in elevation, the joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion on the north sides. Well, Sennacherib had stated that he wanted to set his throne on the Temple Mount. It's what you see clearly stated in Isaiah 14, verse 13. This was the desire, but now the city of Zion is to be perceived as the city of the great king, as God's city. So verse 4, the kings assembled themselves, and the Septuagint says, and they came together. That's rather like the scene in Psalm 2. The nations are gathered together around Zion. That's what happened in Hezekiah's time, because the Assyrian army was really a confederacy of local nations with their various kings and leaders. And of course, this is all going to be repeated in the last days. That just as there was an assembly of nations from throughout the earth, or the Eretz, the land promised to Abraham from Egypt to the Euphrates, so there will be a gathering together likewise in the last days of the peoples of that same area, probably under the leadership of a charismatic latter-day Assyrian, the Gog, who will be their chief prince or Rosh that you have in Ezekiel 38. Verse 5, they saw it, and they were amazed and dismayed, and they hurried away. Well, then what did they see? Well, this was the angel coming and slaying up 185,000 soldiers in one night, and the rest of them being dismayed and hurrying away. Then verse 8, as we have heard, so we have seen. This was all prophesied, and it came true. And this happened, verse 8, in the city of Yahweh of armies. Well, the Lord of hosts, Yahweh of armies, is a reference to his armies of angels. So there were armies of angels within that besieged city. And yet, from the perspective of the unbeliever, there were the Jews huddled up in Jerusalem, really with no long-term hope. And yet just one of those one angel out of the armies of angels went out and slew 185,000 soldiers in one night. And this is the stuff of faith, that really things are not as they seem, that God is hugely with us. He's very restrained, if you like, in how he acts, but there is unlimited power with us. In verse 8, having said about the city of Yahweh of armies, the city of our God, God will establish it forever. Selah, that is, think about it. I think the idea was that in the time of Hezekiah, the kingdom of God could have been restored and to some degree eternally established. But that was precluded because of Hezekiah's personal failure and the refusal of the people to accept Isaiah's teaching. The ambassadors from Babylon, etc., came to Hezekiah, and he, instead of teaching them the ways of God, he boasts and shows off all the wealth that he's got, all the gifts from the surrounding nations, and eventually his son Manasseh goes off and serves their idols, rather than teaching them of God's ways as was intended. Verse 9, we have thought about your grace, God, in the midst of your temple. Well, indeed, Zion was saved by grace because the people were very weak spiritually. There was just a tiny remnant. Isaiah and the very few people who followed him who had believed, and really the salvation of Jerusalem was by grace. Verse 10, as is your name, God, so is your praise to the ends of the earth or the ends of the land. The idea is that right up to the very ends or borders of the Eretz, of the land promised to Abraham, from the Euphrates to Egypt, people would hear about God's name and praise it. And so from Babylon, which was right at the ends of the earth, on the Euphrates, on the ends, at the ends of the land promised to Abraham, the end of the Eretz, the border of it, from there, messengers came, ambassadors came to Hezekiah, drawn to Zion by the name of God, by what he had done. But Hezekiah lets the ball drop. It's so tragic. He boasts to them of how he's been so well established, and he lacks that humility. And indeed, his son Manasseh goes off and serves their gods, and probably Hezekiah himself did. He just adopts the idea that, well, I got 15 years to enjoy myself, and that's what I shall do. Like somebody misusing their retirement, as it were, the last part of their life. So, verse 11, let Mount Zion be glad. That's where the temple was. Let the daughters of Judah, and I think that would refer to the cities maybe around Jerusalem, which had fallen to the Assyrians, but were now liberated. Let the daughters of Judah rejoice because of your judgments. Verse 14, for this God is our God forever and ever. He will be our guide even to death. Well, the Hebrew word for guide there is a military term that means to lead forth an army. So this God will be our guide, will lead forth our army right to the end of our lives. But actually, there was no fighting between the people of Judah in Jerusalem and the Assyrians. They did not go out to fight those people. They simply stayed huddled up in Jerusalem, and one angel of the armies of Yahweh went out and killed 185,000 around them. So the idea is that it is in that sense that we are led out to war, in that the angels will work for us and go before us. And that's why it's emphasized in these Psalms, particularly Psalm 47, that this is the city of Yahweh of armies. We've seen this also here in Psalm 48, verse 8. The city of Yahweh of armies. There was a whole army of angels, as he says, in the city of our Elohim, in the city of our God. And just one of them killed 185,000 soldiers. So this is what faith looks like in practice. Believing that actually there are a totally different set of realities going on in this world, just that they're unseen. That the nations are being moved around the stage, that people are being moved around in our lives, not in that God is manipulating or pulling strings, as it were, and treating people as puppets, but he is working in collaboration with what people want to do, strongly encouraging them and empowering them in the way in which they want to go. And he is at work, orchestrating, let's say, all things, ultimately, for our eternal salvation. This is what's going on. And yet, we don't see it, because you look up at the sky and there's sort of fluffy cotton wool clouds very slowly crawling across the face of the sky. And it just seems that one day is pretty much like the day before, and What happens in your life is not too different to what happens in the life of the guy next to you who's not a believer. But this is not so. The eyes of faith see these things, that really man is not alone, but that God is with us. And his ultimate intention is to bring us into his kingdom and to establish his kingdom. And that will finally happen. As you see at this time, it could have happened, I think, to some degree at the time of Hezekiah, but he let the ball drop, as so many people do, when God intersects with their lives and gives them the chance of eternity in his kingdom. And we are not to be like that. We are to see that despite our weak faith, there is a huge army of angels, armies of angels, and just one of them can slay 185,000 men.